Tonight we're going to do a sharing on something similar to the Kenneth Copeland. He said being God inside minded, but we're going to be being Christ inside minded. So we know that Christ, the sacred secret is Christ, or the part of the sacred secret is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have Christ within us, and that is purpose is to bear fruit. So first is little thing, but today is Purim. It's actually pronounced Pur, P-U-R, and that's in the book of Esther. And that's today at sunset till tomorrow at sunset. And the Jews are about ready to be wiped out. And it turned, and where the adversaries of the Jews were all murdered. And so I think that's really pertinent to the United States. The United States right now has had the darkness turn on it. And I believe Yahweh will deliver us with our saviors that will come around. And so it will turn right back on them. But that's not the teaching. So, and going over a few books, and I think everybody needs to do is to get sparks back going, like the fire behind me. We all have embers, and that's called holy ruach. And many times they can get very faint. And so, well, we're not exercising it. We got to blow on it. If anybody knows anything about fires, blowing on it can just get everything going back up. So here's a book brought back out of the old files. It's Smith Wigglesworth. He was a person who walked in the supernatural in 1850s to 1947, right around that. And it's got all of his different teachings. And we're going to look at a few of those things. And here's another one. Devotional. I think people need to get ignited. So by me consuming these again, it started putting a fire in me, which we with all of us, to engage to bear fruit.
You need to move your glass over a little bit. I keep seeing that in his skills. Sorry,
Belgium, over here. He doesn't want it at
So our calling is not to be ordinary, but to be extraordinary. So any parent doesn't want their child to be ordinary, especially when we've got spirit. Our potential is to be extraordinary. We're supposed to be the light on the hill that everybody sees, anointed with holy ruach and to be a fruitful tree. So each day our life should be bearing fruit, which we're going to see that. So we're going to see a power first, and we'll go to Luke 24. I need a table here. Oh, got it.
Put that table there. We got a chair up there we're not using.
That's all right.
The chair right with that coat on would be really easy to start.
Oh, you're having the stool.
Yeah.
Live is the stool.
And we got to be reminded of this. Put it right here. Yeah, on the right side. Thank you. There you go. Perfect.
Thank you.
Luke 24:49. We'll kind of refresh our memory again. And lo, I am setting forth the promise my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city until you be clothed from on high with what?
Power.
Power.
Dunamis.
Power. So you go to Acts 1:8. Same situation as reminding of power. And then I have to start reflecting, am I manifesting power? So in 1:8, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Ruach cometh upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, as far as the uttermost part of the land. And power is a witness. But we're going to see that tonight. And here's just an example. Ananias, we're going to go to Acts chapter 9. Now, are we ready for these excursions? And first, we've got to be, each morning, is checking in to say, hey, Christ, you're my boss, you're my head, I'm ready for orders. I'm ready to do whatever you ask me to do. And wait, listen, you know anything in particular? Just go and be ready at any particular time you're motivated. And here's Ananias in 8:14. through 19.
Chapter
8? Yeah, chapter 8. No, wait a minute, I'm sorry. Chapter 9, verse 11. Let me go here. And the Lord, which is Yahushua, said unto him, you know, this is great. We got to be ready for this. And this is not an apostle. This is not a prophet. Arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and seek in the house of Judas one Saul by the name of Tarsus. For lo, he is praying and has seen a man in a vision, Ananias by name, coming in and laying on him his hands to the intent he should see him. Very simply. And so we read these kind of instructions. It's like, okay. And then he explains it. It'd be like laying hands on Obama. I don't know if you really got the new record on this guy or Biden. Yeah.
Kamala.
And as you can see in verse 17 and 18, and this is what he does. And Ananias departed, entered into the house, and laying upon him his hands, said, Saul, brother, the Lord has sent me, Yahushua, who appeared unto thee in the way by which thou wast coming, that thou mayest recover sight and be filled with the holy ruach. And straightway there fell from him, from his eyes, his little scales, he recovered sight also, and rising was he immersed. Very simple instructions. So every day we should be having encounters one way or another with people. This is not history, this should be our present day. And we go to Philip, is a great example, 8:26. And why? Because we have Ruach. And if we aren't exercising the Ruach, then we're not a light on the hill. We're not exercising power. And Yahweh can't really, or Christ, call on us to do something if we don't even recognize or even aren't. No. That's just silly. I've got too many things I've got to do. So, Acts 8:26. And a messenger of Yahweh spake unto Philip. And I always thought about this too. It doesn't mean he ever saw anybody. And we're always assuming that there is a messenger. But a messenger of Yahweh spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and be journeying along southward unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, the same as desert. And arising he journeyed. And lo, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, one in power under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all his treasures, had come to worship in Jerusalem, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Ruach said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself unto the chariot. So it could be Isaiah's in Walmart, and he's saying, Isaiah, go over to cashier 3, not cashier 2, and I want you to say something to him. It's that simple. And running near, Philip heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, Dost thou then understand what thou art reading? And he said, How indeed shall I be able unless someone shall guide me? And he went ahead and did that. So here's how you can engage, and everybody, we're going to see everybody's in a ministry, and everybody has a different department. But with Facebook and with the social media, it's such an avenue. So there's Christian sites that you can join. And so I'm on 30 different Christian sites, and I make a post on 30 different Christian sites every day. And here's teachings from Telluloz Ministries, and just one thing after another. And now you hit one Smith Wigglesworth, which we're not doing, and it just exploded. And so this is in Africa and every place else. And so I'm getting like 300 likes a day from these people, and it's posting what Smith Wigglesworth is writing, and it's in the power. Is in the power. But you're looking at, look at this. And so now, you know, we're in 40 different countries from a little website in my house when I type things in. So how important can anybody be by ministry? And because what happens, you share something, and then Yahweh ignites that in somebody else, and then he reshares it, and they reshare it, and it just starts going exponential. Yeah. And you're like, wow, because these sites are not run by pastors. These are just individuals. You don't want to go to a pastor's site because they're going to control everything that you have. Well, I'm just going to go there. And then if they block you, you just drop them and go to another site. You just open another one and say, I want to join. You believe in Jesus or whatever. And yes, and then you just... And then people will say, I need a prayer in this area. And then you just say, praying. I'm going to pray for these individuals. I don't know who they are. They said, you know, they need a prayer. Well, pray. Yep. Now we go to bearing fruit. You know, there is a gig that we're in is, are we fruit bearing? So each day today, can you say, did I bear fruit? Yesterday, did I bear fruit? The day before, did I bear fruit? How am I bearing fruit? So let's just look at that. Let's go to Matthew 25. A good illustration, verse 14. And somebody want to read 14 to 30.
For it is just as a man who, going from home, called his own servants and delivered up to them his substances. And to one indeed gave he 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his particular ability, and went from home. Straightway he who the 5 talents had received went traded with them and gained another 5. Likewise he of the 2 gained other 2. But he who the one had received went away and digged up ground and hid the silver of his Lord. And after a long time cometh the Lord of those servants and reckoneth with them. And he who the 5 talents had received, coming forward, brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, 5 talents to me thou didst deliver up. See, other 5 talents I gave. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Over a few things wast thou faithful, over many things will I appoint thee. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He also of the 2 talents coming forward said, Lord, 2 talents to me didst thou deliver up. See, other 2 talents I gained. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Over few things wast thou faithful, over many things will I appoint thee. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. But he also, who the 1 talent had received, coming forward said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering whence thou hast not winnowed, and overcome with fear, I went away and hid thy talent in the ground. See, thou hast what is thine. And his Lord answering said unto him, O wicked servant and cowardly, knowest thou that I reap where I have not sown, and gather whence I have not winnowed? It was binding on thee, therefore, to cast my silver into the money changers. And I, when I came, might have obtained what was mine with interest. Therefore, take away from him the talent, and give unto him that hath the 10 talents. For to every one that hath shall be given, and he shall be made to abound. But from him that hath not, even what he hath shall be taken away from him. And the unprofitable servant cast ye forth into the darkness outside. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
So every one of us has been giving things. And Ruach is one. And very simple is, what have you done with it? My son gave you the Holy Spirit. What have you done with it each day? And you can imagine, well, my church told me that went out with the apostles. Thank you for something that just sits there idly by day after day, year after year, my whole life. And what did you do with it? Nothing. Nothing. Okay. And what did you do with it? Well, I prophesied every day. I spoke in tongues for people every day. Good and faithful servant, you shall be able to do this. You know, we got a whole chapter 14, yes, 1 Corinthians 14, about manifesting the Spirit. And also, I see in John 15, 1 through 8, the purpose, let's go to John 15, 1 through 8, is to bear fruit. And so we should ask our children, what is your job today? Did you bear fruit? What are your talents? Did you utilize those to the degree that you did successfully? And have you contacted, have you worked with Christ through prayer, through intercession to people? Did you talk about Christ to somebody else? Did you read something? You know, what are you doing? And then we're going to look a little bit about Miss Wigglesworth and see what the life engaged is. But John 15, 1, this is what it's all about. I am the real vine, Christ, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what? He taketh away. And every one that beareth fruit, he pruneth it that more fruit it may bear. It's just Yahweh, in Luke 13:6-9, here's a fig tree, and the guy said, "Has it borne any fruit?" "No, we'll cut it down. It's taking up space. Why don't you put a tree that will bear fruit?" He goes, "Let me manure it, and we'll see if it bears fruit." But fruit is everything. Fruit is everything. And everyone that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, and that more fruit it may bear. Already you are pure because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. Just as the branch cannot be bearing fruit of itself, except you abide in the vine, so neither ye except you abide, that ye abide, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth what? Much fruit. Because apart from me, you cannot bring forth nothing. You can bring forth nothing. If one abide not in me, he is cast out as a branch and withers, and they gather them, and as far they cast them, and they are burned. Just fruit is a topic of all this word. Like, I didn't just, I gave my college education to my son, and what did you do with it? I'm working at Walmart. Why? What the hell did you do there? I just spent $20,000 on an education of a doctor or this, and you could help people. You could make money to supply things. And what are you doing with it? Nothing. I just wasted that, is what it comes down to. So every parent should do the same thing too. Where's your life? Is it, you're either, advancing, or you're stagnating, or you're decreasing. Where are you in this particular time period? So hand those out, everybody. We're going to look at a little case, and this is out of this book, this little excerpt of people engaged. And we'll start off with the word and knowledge of faith. And so what a psychologist on the Christian station said, life, you need to be intentional. So each day I have an intent to serve Christ in some way or another. Which is serving Yahweh, intentional. I must go at it. If I do not go at it intentionally, guess what? It's not going to happen. Oh, I forgot about it. I'll do it tomorrow or the next day. I'll do it on Sunday because that's when we're supposed to have it. But this is a great illustration. And who would like to read this? I'll have one. The Word of Knowledge and Faith. And this is by Smith Wigglesworth. And so this is an account of what he's talking about one of his days. Go ahead.
One day when I came home from our open air meeting at 11 o'clock, I found that my wife was up. I asked, "Where is she?" I was told that she was down at Mitchell's. I had seen Mitchell that day and knew that he was at the point of death. I knew it was impossible for him to survive the day unless the Lord undertook. There are many who let down in sickness and do not take hold of the life that Lord Jesus Christ that is provided for them. I was taken to see a woman who was dying and said to her, "How are things with you?" She answered, "I have faith, I believe." I said, "You have faith, you have not faith. You know that you are dying. It is not faith that you have, it is language. There is a difference between language and faith." I saw that she was in the hands of the devil. There was no possibility of life until he was removed from the premises. I hate the devil, and I laid hold of the woman and shouted, "Come out, you devil of death. Command you to come out in the name of Jesus." In 1 minute, she stood on her feet in victory.
I'll keep reading. But to return to the case of Brother Mitchell, I hurried down to the house, and as I got near, I heard terrible screams. I knew that something had happened. I passed Miss Mitchell on the stairway and asked, "What is it?" She replied, "He is gone, he is gone." I just passed her and went into the room, and immediately I saw that Mitchell had gone. I could not understand it, but I began to pray. My wife, always afraid that I would go too far, and she laid hold of me and said, "Don't, Dad. Don't you see that he is dead?" I continued to pray, and my wife continued to cry out to me, "Don't, Dad. Don't you see that he is dead?" But I continued praying. I got as far as I could with my own faith, and then God laid hold of me. Oh, it was such a laying hold that I could believe for anything. The faith of the Lord Jesus laid hold of me, and a solid peace came into my heart. I shouted, "He lives, he lives, he lives, and he is living today." There's a difference between our faith and the faith of the Lord Jesus. The faith of the Lord Jesus is needed. We must change faith from time to time. Your faith may get to a place where it wavers. The faith of Christ never wavers. And when you have that faith, the thing is finished. When you have that faith, you will never look at things as they are. You will see things that nature gives to the things of the Spirit. You will see the temporal swelling up to the eternal. If he were to not act, obviously the person, I mean, that's bearing much fruit, and we're reading about it 100 years later.
Amen.
Alone in the family's life, and it's engaging to realize, hey, I'm a son of God.
Right.
I've got Holy Spirit, Yahweh. Let's do this. Or whatever it needs is, let's just do this. And I'm going to see the gifts of healing and miracles. This was another account. When people are in sickness, you find frequently that they are dense about scriptures. They usually know three scriptures, though. They know about Paul's thorn in the flesh, and that Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach. And these are the people that say, the healing stopped with the apostles. And so our adversary, what a great overthrow, a coup on our Father's word is to say, there is no power. And because of these verses. And that Paul left someone sick somewhere. They forget his name and don't remember the name of the place and don't know where the chapter is. Most people think they have a thorn in the flesh. The chief thing is dealing with a person who is sick, who is to locate their exact position. As you are ministering under the Spirit's power, the Lord will let you see just that which will be more helpful and most faith-inspiring to them. When I was in the plumbing business, I enjoyed praying for the sick. Urgent call would come and I would have no time to wash. And with my hands all black, I would preach to these sick ones, my heart all aglow with love. As you must have in your heart and things when you pray for the sick, you have to get right to the bottom of the cancer with a divine compassion, and then you will see the gift of the Spirit in operation. You want to keep reading, Aaron?
I was called at 10 o'clock one night to pray for a young person given up by the doctor who was dying of consumption. It's like a lung disease. As I looked, I saw that unless God undertook it, was impossible for her to live. I turned to the mother and said, "Well, mother, you will have to go to bed." She said, "Oh, I have not had my clothes off for 3 weeks." I said to the daughters, "You will have to go to bed." But they did not want to go. It was the same with the son. I put on my overcoat and said, "Goodbye, I'm off." They said, "Oh, don't leave us." And I said, "I can do nothing here." They said, "Oh, if you will stop, we will all go to bed." I knew that God would move nothing in an atmosphere of mere natural sympathy and unbelief. They all went to bed and I stayed. And that was surely a time as I knelt by that bed face to face with the death and with the devil. But God can change the hardest situation and make you know that He is almighty. Then the fight came. It seemed as though the heavens were brass. I prayed from 11 to 3:30 in the morning. I saw the glimmering light on the face of the sufferer and saw her pass away. The devil said, "Now you are done for. You have come from Bradford and the girl has died on your hands." I said, "It can't be. God did not send me here for nothing. This is a time to change strength." I remembered that passage which said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." Death had taken place, but I knew that my God was all powerful, and he that split the Red Sea is just the same today. It was a time when I would not have no, and God said yes. I looked at the window, and at the moment, the face of Jesus appeared. It seemed as though a million rays of light were coming from his face. As he looked at the one who had just passed away, the color came back to the face. She rolled over and fell asleep. Then I had a glorious time. In the morning, she woke early, put on a dress gown, and walked to the piano. She started to play and to sing a wonderful song. The mother and the sister and the brother had all come down to listen. The Lord had undertaken. A miracle had been wrought.
That is what our lives possibly should be ready for. Engagement at all times. And many times our engagement, we have no idea what happens to somebody. So Aaron's been prophesying for a lot of people. And you have no idea the ramifications that we have in that particular area. But we've got to be able to light this fire, reignite the fire that glows is within us. Now, when adversity comes, and many times we're going to say no, because what happens if it doesn't happen? And so we go ahead and strip ourselves, and so like John Lane used to say, all right, every in basketball, every shot you do not take, you will not miss.
Oh, yeah.
Very simply, you'll never make a mistake because you never ventured.
Never tried.
So the person who shoots, is there's a chance that he's going to miss. Maybe do an air ball, or do this or that, and be mocked, or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. That's what we're here for. We're here to engage. And we're going to see that with your prophet Elijah. 1 Kings 17. And things sometimes are just not going to go the way we planned them. And here is a mighty man, Elijah, which, you know, stopped the rain for 3.5 years. 17, verse 8. Then the word came unto then came the word of Yahweh unto him, saying, "Arise, get you to
Zarephath,
which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Lo, I have commanded thee a widow woman to sustain thee." That would go against all of our senses. For one thing, she's not an Israelite. Another thing, it's a dadgum widow. She doesn't have any food.
Yeah.
So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the entrance of the city, lo, there is a widow woman gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, and we know all about that story. So let's go to 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, owner of the house, fell sick. Did he pray for her? Probably. Yet it came to pass that his sickness was very severe until no breath was left in him. This isn't supposed to happen. I'm the prophet of Yahweh, and the person I'm supposed to be blessing in their house, just son just died.
Yeah.
Man, how can that be? Then said she unto Elijah, "What have I come with thee, O man of Elohim? Hast thou come unto me to call to remembrance my iniquity and to cause the death of my son?" This is called adversity. Adversity, when you're standing and you can say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." No, let's get to work. And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." Look at this. And he took him by his bosom and carried him unto his upper room where he was staying and laid him upon his own bed. Then cried he unto Yahweh and said, "O Yahweh, my God, even upon a widow with whom I am sojourning, hast thou brought misfortune by causing the death of her son?" And he stretched himself out. Did he stop?
No.
He said, he stretched out upon the boy 3 times and cried unto Yahweh. So, "Yahweh, my God, let the life of this boy, I pray thee, come again unto him." And Yahweh hearkened to the voice of Elijah, and his life of the boy came again within him, and he lived. Wow. But I didn't see that coming. You know, a prophet is supposed to be ahead of everything. And so nobody's supposed to get sick around the prophet, and their family members are never supposed to get sick, and nobody's supposed to die a premature death if you're a Christian. Well, it doesn't work that way. Now we go to Elisha, 2 Kings 4. And Elijah probably told about this, you know, about his incidents, because that was his teacher. Chapter 4, verse 11. Elisha. And it came to pass on the day that he came thither, so he turned aside into the upper chamber and slept there. Then said he unto Gehazi, his young man, "Call this Shunammite woman." And we know about that. And he says, and Gehazi says, she doesn't have a son. And let's go to 16. Then said he, "At this season, about the time of spring, thou shalt be embracing a son." Think of, that's just a word. Think of that. You know, Aaron, anytime we prophesy with people, something can come up. That inspired her, because many times if you're not looking at children, depending on your age, you're not going to have any sexual intimacy either, because there's no more faith there. There's nothing else to have that. So Abraham and Sarah probably like that point too. You know, that's over. And so I guarantee you're not going to have a son without sexual intimacy. And so if he says you're going to have a son by this time next year, then she's got to go to the old man, because he was older than her. It says that. He says he's older and she's not. She's going to have to, you know, say, "We've got some business to take care of." And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of Elohim, do not delude thy maidservant." And the woman conceived and bare a son at this season and lived happily ever after. No! No! And I said, you know, he ended up dying. And then the woman's like, it goes sows the ass and goes through the whole story. And let's go to 27. And when she came unto the man of Elohim on the mount, by the way, a man of Elohim is only a prophet. So if anybody calls the pastor or their husband or anybody else a man of God or a woman of God, that's not correct usage, unless you're a prophet. On the mount, she caught hold of his feet and gazed and drew near to thrust her away. When the man of Elohim said, "Let her alone, for her life is embittered to her. Howbeit, Yahweh hath hidden it from me and hath not told me." So he's ignorant on this thing. But we have to be a fixer. See, it's always believing. If Christ is in me, I can operate, which is Yahweh and Christ in me, I can do the supernatural. I have the ability. I've been given the power. So let me just check on this. Yeah, 28. Then says she, "Did I ask a son of my Lord? Said I not, thou must not mislead me." It's like, man, this is right to your heart. You gave me a son and he killed him. I would have been off if I didn't have a son. I mean, that would have been really it. And so that hurt. And he said to Gehazi, "Gird thy loins." It was this revelation. "Take my staff in the hand and go thy way without me with any man." Goes on and on and on. It says, "Lay it upon the child." Now, 31, "Now Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on his face of the boy, but there was neither voice nor attention. So he returned to meet him and told him, saying, boss, not happening. The boy hath not awakened." Okay, let's just go back to my city. He's dead. I'm sorry. Yeah. No. And when Elijah had come into his house, lo, the boy was dead, laid upon his bed. So he went in and shut the door upon them too and prayed unto Yahweh. Then Gehazi up and laid upon the child and put his own mouth over his mouth and his own eyes over his eyes and his own hands over his hands. And he bowed himself upon him, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Was he alive? No.
No.
You're still working on this thing. This is just, rise up. Okay, let me do this. I'm going to keep praying. Then returned he and walked in the house once to and fro, and then went up and bowed himself upon him. Now this is the guy who split the Jordan,
yeah,
and done all sorts of miracles. But I am determined that to change this situation. And the boy sneezed, his name is seven times, and the boy opened his eyes, but he didn't give up. Now let's go into David and Ziklag for Samuel. Now we automatically assume that life is, once we're working with Yahweh in Christ, life is roses everywhere we go.
What part of Samuel?
Yeah, chapter 30, verse 1-8.
First Samuel?
Yeah.
Of course, it's David.
Now, so David, because of the story, was with the Philistines and was going to go help the Philistines against Judah, and they sent him back to Ziklag. Now, there's, was there 600 men? Yeah, there's 600 men, and Ziklag was their home. Right? And it came to pass when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid into the south. Yahweh would have been nice.
Yeah.
If I would have known this, because you come back and guess what? Your houses are burned down. Everything's gone.
Yeah, like
your family. Now think of the travesty. And you're God's man, Yahweh's man. You're the prophet, David. And into Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women, your wives and all who were therein, from small, your children. They had not put one to death, but had driven them forth and gone their way. Wow! I mean, this isn't, the guys about ready to stone them. I mean, you're just defeated. We've lost everything, and we're supposed to, guess who we're working for? Yahweh!
And you got permission to do the battle.
Yeah, but you got, okay, we got, you know, we're supposed to be working for Yahweh. We're the good guys, and now everything we have is gone. This is not going out according to script.
Okay.
But here's what David does. In verse 7, then said David to Abiathar, the priest son of Abimelech, do bring near me, I pray, the ephod. So you've got to check in. You've got to go ahead and so Abiathar brought near the ephod unto David, and David inquired of Yahweh, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake it? And he said unto him, pursue, for thou shalt overtake it, and thou shalt rescue. And if you read the situation, nobody's killed. And you get all the booty, all the stuff that they have, and you get to kill them. So it happily ever after. But if he didn't sit down and have that prayer and that confidence, he's tapping into the Spirit. And Yahweh says, go. God, next time, could you give me a heads up?
Yeah, can I get
we could just stay at home, and none of this stuff was going to happen in our mind. None of this stuff would happen. Life is going to have a lot, or all of our lives are going to have misadventures, but it doesn't stop. When the world says stop, we're different. Because when they say they're dead, or they're going to die, that's not good enough for us. You know, we're different. And that's going into the extraordinary, not the ordinary, the extraordinary. It's like a physician who's a surgeon. When he says there's no hope, I'll determine that. And they go on in. Now we go into Jeremiah. We have to skip that. And Jeremiah was a tough job.
Yeah.
Did he have Holy Spirit? Yeah. Was he a prophet? Yes. Did he raise anybody from the dead? No. Did we know of any miracles he did? I mean, physical miracles? No. Did he speak the word of Yahweh? Yes, he did.
Always.
And where did he get it?
In prison.
In a dungeon, thrown in the sludge, maybe up to his waist, into an outhouse.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it got me. But Yahweh at the beginning, in Jeremiah 1, we're going to have to go there. Jeremiah 1:17-19, it says, I put you in charge. They're going to go after you, but they will not prevail against you. Because like flint, I have made you. And so it starts telling you, you're going to persevere through this. Well, wait a minute. I never promised you a rose garden. I thought Christianity was a rose garden. No. And in Jeremiah 38:6, he gets put into the dungeon, and then he gets out, and then who delivers him is Nebuchadnezzar. That's 39, chapter 39, 11 through 12. And then in the middle of Jeremiah, he writes, woe to me that I was ever born. I wish I was never born. And that's Jeremiah 20, 14-18. And so sometimes we can look at that because we're engaged in the game. We're in a world that's dark, but we have power. And we're reading his book right now. And he'll have a great life on the new earth because he was faithful to the end. Let's see here. Now we're going to see about us individually in the body, which is Romans 12. And so we might not have the ministry of raising the dead, of healing, but we do know we have power and be specialized in what we do and do it heartily to say what gifts, because every person has gifts.
Amen. Everybody's got something.
Yeah, and if you're not sure what your is, ask other people, what do you think my gifts are? And they can say, well, I can see your gifts. Da 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 da. And can you see my downfalls? Well, I can see those too.
How long have you got?
So all of us can see people's gifts, and we can also see, like somebody's really sloppy. I wouldn't become a physician. I don't think that's your calling, and you you don't comb your hair and you don't brush your teeth or whatever or something like that. And you're like, I don't think you're that kind of person, that detailed person. But you're, a person who, like Wendy's, when you look at her gifts, she is talking to people on the phone and she's building them up and giving them words. So you got a ministry of being on the phone, of talking to people. And at the grocery store, you'll meet people and they'll tell her whole life story to them. So you have to figure out what ministry you have, and we get multiple ministries. So here it is in Romans 12, verse 4. For just as in one body we have many members, yet all the members have not the same office. So we, so Smith Wigglesworth had one, but guess what? If there's nobody else there, I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
And so Wendy's had success on healing. I have not personally, but she's had success on healing. So if somebody really needs healing, I'm going to say to her, I mean, you know, who's really good at this? Well, Wendy's had success, and that's why I have her go for it. You know? And so, you know, if plumbing, who has the success with plumbing? Okay. So you're like, they had a skill on this.
Yeah, plumber's crap. Yeah.
Now, who has a skill on writing letters to people?
Esther.
He's real shy. He just won't speak the truth to people. He just stands back. That's me, by the way. Fine. So when we have, we the many are one body in Christ, yet separately members one of another. Here's an example. We're in pastors' meetings with unbelieving pastors, in essence. And so we're prophesying so they let us in there, but we're prophesying to people, and they want that and all sorts of stuff. So they're seeing power, they're seeing light coming. But then when they find out we're not Trinitarians, we got banned from, you can't pray for people, you can come, you can't pray, you can't prophesy. So what does that do with Yahweh? I mean, so that's, we're off the hook. Okay. And like in Christ, when he was in Gethsemane, I think, when he delivered the man who had legion, Matty Calculus, what did they ask for him to do?
Leave.
And then he said, no. No. Okay. And he left. So they turned away Christ. And so if I'm turned away, who cares? God, if they turned away Christ, I mean... No, we don't want any healings around here. Well, we want the healings, but we don't want our sins pointed out to us.
Yeah, just keep that line
up. Yeah, we want our adultery and everything that's going on. Just heal our syphilis. Heal our diseases so we can carry on our sexual perversions.
Yeah.
And that's what most people would want. And, but you can go through here, but in seven, well, let's just go on five. So we the many are one body in Christ, yet severally members one of another. Now having gifts of favor according to the favor given unto us differing. Whether prophesying, let us use it according to the proportion of our faith. Prophesying. Of ministering, let it to our ministering. It's a serving. People, Don is a great server.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, you get out there, and if you need a house clean, or if you're going to be moving and things like that, here's people, they'll volunteer. For he that teaches, let him with gift in his teaching, he that exhorteth and exhorting, and he that imparteth with liberality. You make money, guess what?
Give.
He gives the money away. I got a road knack for making money. He that taketh the lead with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, in honor, and it goes on and on. Now we go to 1 Corinthians 12. Same situation about being in the body. My goodness. But we can't say, well, I'm no good at that. Hey, like I tell Aaron, Yahweh just wants people to say, I stink at this. But you can make me be real good at it. So I'm perfect. I'm a perfect vessel because I can't do it.
Yeah.
And so guess what? I'm volunteering. I am volunteering for the mission. But you're going to have to do something, you know, and with some of the healers, they feel something in their hands, a warmth will come up, some symbolism that something's about ready to happen, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, you know, so some people have that, okay, great. And was it for the rest of their life? No, it's for a period of time, that's fine. We'll just get in there, but at the end of the new earth, it's all going to be fine anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make my mark. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Here we are again. For just as the body is one and hath many members, but all the members of the body through many are one body, and so also is the Christ. Christ is our head. For God's sakes, for Christ's sakes, you know how to heal somebody. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm here. It's not that I don't want to. You know, I've tried and haven't been successful at it. Show me. I'm signing up for duty. So you go to verse 27-31, same chapter.
What?
Same chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Oh. Now ye are the body of Christ and members severally, and Yahweh hath indeed set certain in the assembly. Firstly apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, mighty works, then gifts of healing. That's Smith Wigglesworth. Gifts of healing. And it's walking and engaging, guiding kinds of tongues are all apostles, all prophets. But on 31, be envious, however, of the greater gifts. They want us to covet the gifts. Okay, are there apostles out here? No. Do we need more apostles? Yeah, I volunteer. A prophet, I'll volunteer. So whatever you want in this particular area. Now you have to realize, can I walk in those shoes? I'm really willing to walk in those shoes. To that point where all of a sudden you leave everything behind you sometimes, like Peter and them, their business, everything else, all left. Okay, maybe I can't do that this particular time. Well, I'll think about it. Now we go with the last part, and so here's this, we know in 1 Corinthians 14:39, very simply, so then my brethren, be zealous to prophesy. People in the church today throw out 1 Corinthians 14. And we do not, and do not forbid to be speaking with tongues. You know, so sometimes we just got to know how. And so we do this and on YouTube, so anybody wants to learn, we do it right here. I don't know if anybody else that does that. Now we go to Acts chapter 28 and there. And here's what, we can make an impact on the unbelievers. And when you walk into a place without a mask, I think they look at confidence. So we do that, you know, just in confidence. Stickers on our car. Well, damn, you know, they're not for Obama. They're not for Biden. You know, because here is Christ lives. You know, we're not ashamed of the gospel. You know, and so you want help? And so what we try to do with our waitresses is to say, how is your life? Is there anything that we can do for you? Is there any prayers we can say for you? And so you just interject right here, guys. I've got this woman for maybe a half hour, and if you've got something, and all of a sudden a need could come out. Well, if I didn't open my mouth, it's not going to happen. And so Aaron's prayed for him and prophesied for him right in the restaurant. The girl kneels right down at the table at IHOP. You know, or a person says, I've really got a financial problem, this and that and that and this, and all of a sudden Yahweh can say, okay, you know, how about a $100 tip? And all of a sudden you're in your mind, and maybe you confirm it with somebody, and all of a sudden you go, okay. And it's just like, this is what we're here for. That's the actual difference. That is, you're waiting for that attention in my everyday act. It's not that I'm out, well, this isn't church day. No, I'm at IHOP getting a cup of coffee, but the person just told me a bad story. They're in a bad situation. Now, Father, you know, I'm here. You know, do you want me to do anything? Nothing there? Okay. If there's something there, wow! And get that person is, you can't believe what just happened to me today. And you write like Aaron said, this is great. On every receipt, it goes to the manager, write a scripture. So we leave a card on every place we go. And here, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And you write it because not only the waitress gets it, but she posted it with the manager. So you're putting a scripture. And Aaron will ask to follow, what scripture should I put down there? I'm just going to do Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, love Yahweh thy God. But you do that, so I mean, it's impactful, intentional. These are opportunities. These are windows I'm interjecting into somebody's life when I drive around. Now, here's Paul, and he gets bit by a serpent. He's had a real bad day. Not to say he's got 200 lashes on his back. You know, well, wait a minute, God. This isn't a rose garden. I never promised you a rose garden. There's a song that says, I never promised you that. I got stoned, shipwrecked 3 days and a night.
It's raining.
Yeah, I mean, you're like
fire, come cold.
The Jews are against me. The Gentiles, the nations are against me. So this is good. So watch it. When something happens to you, and said, oh my God.
I quit.
Yeah, I quit. Instead, no, this is an opportunity of deliverance for the people watching.
Yeah.
How am I going to handle this? And they're going to say, my God. I remember this, and this, not to blow my own horn, but we are at, you know, with believers, and we were out at a lake, you know, like a sand pit, and we all camped out. And we came out, and our car hood was up, open. You know, our window was broken. All of our distributor wires were thrown off. And so you're like, my parents' car, I think it was. And how I handled it the person was watching. And he said, after it was all over, I can't believe how you handled that. I've never seen somebody handle it like that because you are not upset. And so we ended up going to a car lot because I don't know how to put them back on. You know, what order? I don't know. And so you went to a place and saw some kind of the same engine. And then we started the car back up. So we just had a window broken. But people are watching.
How old were you?
Well, probably 17. You know, so everybody is watching. We're the figure. We're the anointed Christians. To say we're Christians, prove it. Mm-hmm. Let me see that you don't react like everybody else. And so in football, let me see you when somebody gives you a cheap shot that you don't go back after them. And actually, you help them up. And we see that. You're like, wow, why would you help that guy up? And maybe you're not supposed to help him up. But you're different. You're different cuss, you know? I mean, we should be around that. I used to be a cusser. But people look at him, his old friends would come on, everybody would quit cussing. Mm-hmm. Because they know you're a Christian. That's a compliment. And so you're different. You're the light. But listen to Paul 28:1-10. And when we're safely through, we know that the island was called Melita, and the natives began to show us no common philanthropy. And it's raining out. You're soaked here. You're in the Mediterranean. You've been shipwrecked. Everything's lost. My suitcase.
Wallet.
Yeah.
Shit, passport.
Yeah, passport. I mean, it just... this is like us in Rome. You know, when we end up getting to Rome, and I just didn't plan correctly. You know, man, I'm in bad. Let's go home. This isn't going to work. But it went through to be tremendous.
Amen.
And I was like, you're like... Kiss him a mama. What happened? You're on vacation. Oh, God. We're in a foreign land. And this was day one. So you're thinking about that. Hang on. Yahweh knows about this. And we were talking about today with trips. We've been through where the hurricane was coming.
Yes.
And we didn't know it. We made the reservation. And we got through there. People said, there's a hurricane. You can't go there. And we got there, and the hurricane missed the island.
Yeah.
It was
Grand Cayman.
We've gone to Mexico. We're all of a sudden, it's the swine flu.
We're all going to die.
And if we would have fever, they're taking our temperature when we entered. They would have not let us in. But right on in. Look at these people. What are they? Who are these people coming in like this? And I think you and your mother, which is interesting, we're going to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Oh, don't you know? There's a deadly pandemic out there, for God's sakes. You have to say, yeah, but we asked Yahweh, he said, go to Puerto Rico. Okay, and guess what? The date it opened was June 22nd. We got there on June 22nd. We were going to go there on June 1st, it was for Cayman. But nobody was open. So no restaurant would have been open, nothing would have been open.
We didn't know that.
Yeah, we didn't know that. All of a sudden, as we're just praying about the dates, and all of a sudden, let's go to June 22nd or June 23rd, and we went there, we had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
And you're like, coincidence? It's checking in. It's living in the power that we've got. Checking in. Now here's Paul knows he's going to Rome, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got the prophecy. Tim knows, you know, when he was about ready to die, he knew he had prophecies that were not fulfilled. No, I'm not going to die.
Amen.
Because I've had prophecies that are not going to be fulfilled. So you have that fight. And here's Paul. What a bad day. And the natives began to show up, no common philanthropy, for kindling a fire. They received this all because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a certain lot of firewood into a bundle and laid it on the fire, a viper, let's just say, what's the Rice one in?
Puff adder?
No, let's just say the one in Florida.
Cottonmouth?
No, the really deadly one.
Coral snake?
Yeah, coral snake. You know, you're talking about neurotoxins. Now, neurotoxins, you quit breathing.
Yeah.
You know, the hemotoxin, you can lose your arm. And it's a blood infection. Neurotoxin is like the sea snake, too. Boom. It just shuts down your breathing. You can't breathe. And that's what they're waiting here. Oh, shit. This guy had a bad day. by reason of the heat coming forth fastened on his hand. And when the natives saw that brute hanging out, Yahweh probably did this.
Put
a fire in there and said, bite this guy. Look what's going to happen. Look what's going to happen. A miracle's going to happen. Hanging out from his hand, he began to say one to another, Dolly, this man is a murderer whom brought safely throughout the seas. Justice, that's the name of the god.
Dyke.
Hath not suffered to live. He, however, fainted. So, my God, why did you do this? No, he shook it off the brute into the fire, suffered no harm, whereas he works. Keep having him on. Okay, I got 10 more minutes. What do you got on it? Here's 10 bucks. That's like 20 minutes. That's going over here. They're pacing all
over.
They're mess. Suffered no harm, whereas they were expecting that he was about to become inflamed or to fall down suddenly dead. I mean, this is a bad snake. They knew what the snake was, but when they had been long expecting, they had observed nothing unusual happening to him, they changed their minds and began to say he was a
god.
Well, yes, supernatural. So people look at Elijah. That tackle or that incident should have killed you. Why aren't you dead? Mm-hmm. Because I'm the son of God. I'm protected. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island by the name Publius, who made us welcome for 3 days, hospitably entertaining us. And so it happened that the father of Publius, with fevers, heat, and dysentery, distress, was lying prostrate, unto whom Paul entered in. And why could he come in with any kind of authority? Hey, guys. This guy got power.
Yeah.
You know? This guy is, bring him in here. Let's rub some of that off.
Yeah, amen.
And he prayed and laid his hand on him and he healed him. And so all the islands start coming to be healed because they saw a snake latch onto him.
Sorry.
So many times we could have things happen and all of a sudden it was like, did I miss it? And it was no, watch. Other people are going to see, how are you going to handle this?
Yeah.
So we'll stop there. So, the point is, we got Christ ignited. And if anybody wants any of these books, they can get them online. And I really suggest, if you hear stories, don't tell me to walk in power. Give me stories like we got this. That was a story to say, you got power? No, I'm going to show you power. Here's a guy who got bit by a snake and got to that another. Wow. Smith Wiggles' work is the whole book's full of this healing and this healing and this healing and this healing. He's not going to tell you where he didn't heal. You know, so we just know that's going to be, that happens also. Mm-hmm. But you can get these for like $11 on Amazon, A Books used. And the other, the devotional is $18 new. You can get at christianbook.com. And it is there to stir up when I have let fall asleep. And so I'm not ready to jump on somebody to heal them. I'm not ready to do this because I haven't ingested it. It's not in my mind. It was there a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, but it's not part of it because I'm selling my house. I'm in the middle of job changes. You know, I've got businesses. I got plumbing problems. And so that's the farthest thing. So when somebody falls in a restaurant, are you engaged?
No.
Are you supposed to be there, right there, to bring deliverance to a person? Are you there right at the moment the car accident happens? Be right there. I mean, so we got to realize, okay, I'm on call each day. Be ready for it and say, use me, but I've got to equip myself to say, I got to start thinking about these things. Otherwise, I just walk right by it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, somebody just fell over there. Keep eating your breakfast. And Yahweh said, go administer hands. Go lay hands on this person. So that's Smith Wigglesworth's life. You know, things around it. But that was his ministry, but we all have a ministry. Okay, so we'll end up stopping, and we'll have a prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14. So, Father, we thank you for these words. Through Christ our Lord, thank you, Christ, for without you being our head, that we can do nothing. So, you're wanting volunteers, and so we are, as the Tennessees, the volunteers. My sons and daughters, you are a bright image of kindness and of love and of well-being. And as you as you seek to minister unto me, I can minister unto you. But you must submit yourself to my will. You must bring yourself on your knees to who I am, and I can raise you up and exalt you in positions that you can be instrumental in people's lives. You can change lives that other people can never change, and you can change the direction of people's destinies by you acting upon my word. Amen.
Hallelujah.
See you next week, guys.